It is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio, a time where we're joined by Thorne Christendotter, and we take a look at the stories that are in this month's edition of Main Street Magazine. And we are still looking at the big anniversary edition. Are you tired of celebrating yet, Thorne, or are you still into it?
It's like the month that keeps on giving. No, not yet tired of it. It seems like we've had many parts of this month already, and it's been really fun.
I think it's great when you can. I know on the radio it was great to look back at 35 years, but I know when you've got something in print, it's even a little more different because you're not just listening to people talk, which is fine. You get to, but you really. You really see what the magazine's invested in the community over the past 10 years. And that's significant when you take a look at it all in one look.
It has been. And for me to kind of think back and then talk to all my writers who were thinking back also, but putting the cover together was like, whoa, I forgot about that issue. I forgot about that cover. And oh, I loved that cover. And just bringing back the memories and the work that went into putting all the, you know, all these stories together and remembering some of them and now looking back at them with different eyes and through a different lens was really wonderful.
And I really do mean it, though. I think too many people, when they either listen to the radio or they read a magazine or they don't understand that the stories that they hear and they see and they read are that particular place investing in covering the local community.
Yeah, and as you know as well as I do, you know, and anyone who was in the news business, everything takes time and organization and you know, thought and planning and so, you know, thinking back on that as well and the amount of stories we've put together and shared and just, you know, looking at and trying to do justice to all the areas that we cover too. So it's not just like, oh, we just cover the Northwest corner of Connecticut. We just, you know, do Great Barrington, you know, so we are tri-state just like you reach, you know, these different counties and states and towns. And so it's trying to do justice to all of them with all the different rich, you know, communities that they each have.
And it's not that, you know, we only do stories that people call in about. We do, we reach out and we look for these stories, some big, some tiny, some large. It really is an amazing thing when you look at what you've done over the 10 years. And I'll start off with the article that you have written, basically about Whitney Joseph and all that Whitney has done with the magazine.
Yeah, so Whitney and I, as I share in the article here, I met her right when I was starting the magazine. And she, for those who don't know, she was the editor of the Millerton News for close to 20 years or about there. And when we first started the magazine, she was so kind and gracious and did a story on us. I think she even put us on the cover, Ashley and I, that we were starting the magazine. And I've had, you know, wonderful dealings with her, you know, for the past 10 years and, you know, sending stories her way or advertising and whatnot for other clients of mine. And so, you know, I always stayed in touch with her and I would see her around town sometimes. And last year she moved to Florida. And so she and I kind of connected again late last fall. And as I was starting to formulate this issue, and I was like, you know what, you know, could I interview you, kind of your thoughts and reflections back? You were such an integral part of the community. And just in case people didn't know that you left or were wondering what happened to you because you were here for so long, I was like, you know, do you mind if I ask you some questions and kind of your reflections back? So she was kind enough and we talked on the phone a few times. We sent some emails and she shared her thoughts and kind of reflections on, you know, not just the 10 years of my magazine, but, you know, yes, some thoughts on that. As technically we were a competitor, but not technically, whatever you want to call it. But her thoughts on the community and how it was has changed in her time that she was here and some of the people that made an impact on her. Because as you said, it's all about community and her role was very important for a lot of years. So I thought it would be fitting to have her included in this issue and kind of as a way also to give a nod to her and her commitment to the community for all those years.
Well, that's the whole thing. She had her pulse on the community and also aided you. But now it's kind of like it's transferred. The pulse on the community kind of rests in your hands right now. And if anybody knew everything that they needed to know about that part of Dutchess County and even into Connecticut, Whitney was the one to go to.
She certainly was. And I mean, it's so important. I can't stress enough how important it is to have, you know, local radio like yours and local newspapers like the Military News and Lakeville Journal and in Hudson, the Register Star and the Berkshire Eagle. These news and media sources are integral to our communities and the fabric of it and to share the stories of it. I'm obviously not that. I'm not a newspaper, but I, as Whitney said, she's like, oh, I love, she has said this to me many times. She's like, I love the fact that you have more time to put together more in-depth articles, you know, because they were always churning out, you know, weekly. And as I said to her, I was like, I don't know how you do that. You know, that to me is like crazy, the amount of work that goes into it on a weekly basis. So it's, you know, I think it's so important to have these sources of media and information and connection to the community that, you know, your local radio station does and these local newspapers. And, you know, and of course, you know, yeah, monthly magazine like mine and, you know, but we all have a different niche and different need and just an important voice in the community.
What I say to people is just imagine if this community didn't have all that and there was nothing here but an outside paper that would occasionally cover the area, then people would really know what they would miss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't even imagine that. And I just think we're so lucky to have all the local publications and media sources that we do.
Yep. All right, let's move on and talk about Aloha to Aloha Tacos.
Yes, Dominique met up with the Aloha Girls and was able to do a quick interview with them about how it is that they started Aloha Tacos food truck, what their background is, why the name, and about the food. And after reading this, I didn't know about them until Dominique told me about them. And then, excuse me, reading the story, I'm like, man, come spring, I need to, you know, go to their website and find where they're going. I need some Aloha Tacos in my life.
It's, you know, it's funny. Street food now has become an equivalent to restaurant food.
Yeah.
With the imaginative menus and the local ingredients they use, it's not just hot dogs anymore. It's not just falafel. It's actual restaurants that have this incredible food and are a selection of different cuisines that can roll into your area and then roll out. It's amazing.
Literally. Yeah. It's so fun to go to these things and, you know, sit outside in the spring and summer into the fall. I mean, we've gone to Willowbrook, just north of Millerton a bunch of times, you know, like when they had Cousins Maine Lobster and a bunch of other vendors that they brought in. My husband and I will sometimes go to Cooper's Daughter in Claverick when they have food vendors there. And it's so fun to meet different people and different cuisines. And so, you know, hearing about Aloha Tacos, I mean, I've been to Hawaii. I love the cuisine there. So I'm like, whew, tacos with a Hawaiian, you know, flair. I'm all in.
All right. You know, I was going to do another story first, but I want to do this story because I was just talking with somebody about arts in our area. And you've got a story about the power of arts education. And I happen to think that's one of the biggest things that we have up here for kids in grammar school to people over 90. We have an amazing amount of art and art related things for people to participate in here. And it really does enhance your knowledge. And I love the headline, The Power of Arts Education.
So Anna is actually a teacher and an educator, first and foremost. So she has a different perspective on this, has worked, you know, in education for, I think, about 20 years. So, she, you know, to hear her talk about it and the importance of it, obviously, I'm a huge arts and advocate, you know, being in a designer and having been an art student myself. So Anna, actually, this is kind of a three-part article. The first is talking, obviously, about the power of arts education and the impact that it can have. And then she dives into two interviews with writers that have put out children's books. And so it kind of takes, and she fuses into their interviews how important their education and arts education and just, you know, being immersed in the arts was to them as not just in the professional capacity, but in their lives. lives. So it's, you know, it's interesting to see how people have taken their education and exposure to, you know, going to museums and discussions at the dinner table and whatnot, and how it has deeply impacted certain people's lives. And it's, I just think it's so wonderful to see that, because I personally know how it's affected mine.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about the media and how in if this were a larger city, or media tends to trip over themselves and become competitive, and no one wins. Out here, the media all connects with one another and shares and covers stories. And yes, occasionally people get scoops and not scoops. But we're going to wrap up this edition with a story that you wrote. And it's something that I've believed in since I've been in radio. I used to be at odds with most of my general managers that I worked at, which was, the newspapers and magazines were not your friend. I've always thought that they were, and I've always worked well with them. Your article, "A Rising Tide Floats All Boats," is just it's just spot on.
Well, it's a philosophy that my my previous partner actually taught me. He taught me the concept, "Rising Tide Floats All Boats," and basically, for those who don't know, the mentality is that if we're all boats, if the tide comes in and we all work together, we're all going to rise together. You know, yes, some may benefit more than others, but you know what? We all get part of whatever it is. You know, the tide comes and takes care of us all, but it's a matter of, the point is that we work together and we will benefit more together than apart. And this is the philosophy that I've taken to not just the magazine or in my business life, but, you know, just in life in general, that you do good for others, and good will happen to you. And so what in this issue, I was thinking more and more about that. I was feeling, you know, super grateful looking back at all of our supporters through the last 10, almost 11 years. And all of our advertising sponsors and partners like you, who had, you know, without them, we wouldn't be here. And I'm sure you can say the same thing. And so it's important to, you know, to register that. And I just thought it would be a nice piece to include also and talk about this philosophy and a little bit from my perspective, you know, looking back at this issue, how and who, you know, made such an impact, and that it's important to look at it that way.
You know, I used to say I was in sales for about 3 years. I did extremely well, and I use that same philosophy. I know what I found out that is businesses tend to do better when they advertise. It's just a fact. And mm-hmm. and the more advertising or underwriting there is for it, it's good for everybody. So when mm-hmm. you have magazines and newspapers and our nonprofit go out there and we spread the word, that's how a rising tide in advertising lifts all boats. And also in the stories that we cover, things people hear about that they might not ever hear about. So that's what I love about that story.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And I completely agree. And we, you know, yeah, sure. I mean, people can say you and I are technically competitors, but I view it as you and I can help each other out, and while helping the community out and spreading the word, and there's plenty for everyone. And I think we're just stronger and more successful. However you define success, you know, it doesn't have to be monetary, but we are stronger together.
All right. And one final note, are you going to have most of the next month's issue wrapped up by now?
God, no. Between the storms and between one sickness hitting my household after another here, I'm so behind, and I'm currently working from home with a recovering child for the second time in a matter of barely 2 weeks.
Well, good luck in putting that issue together. And Thorin, we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds terrific. Take it easy.
Take care.